We're in a series, Music to the Ears. And the music to the ears that I hope and pray we can all hear loud and clear this morning is very, very simple, coming from the truth of that one particular psalm. And it's amazing what praising can do. And it's not just the title of the talk, and it's not just the title of a very old gospel song that some of you will remember, and we won't sing this morning, but it's also the very thought to treasure in the psalm that I hope will be music to each and every one of our ears this morning. It is amazing what praising can do. I don't know where Graham Martin came from, but there you go. So it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And we're going to think about that this morning. And as I thought about it, I remembered that old story. It's an old story, some of you would have heard it, of the vicar who would go to his various meetings on his horse. And one day things got so bad for him, he had to sell his horse. But being a kind of good and godly horse, the horse only responded to two commands. When it needed to go, instead of being told to giddy up, it was given the encouragement, praise the Lord. And when it was called to stop, instead of going, whoa, it was given the encouragement to stop by saying the word hallelujah. So when the vicar sold it onto this particular chap, he gave them the news. How you get it going, praise the Lord. How to get it stopped, hallelujah. Well, of course, this guy couldn't wait to get on the horse. Gets on the horse, saddles up, begins to feel more confident, and then he begins to say, praise the Lord. Off the little horse goes. And it gets more confident, he starts to shout, praise the Lord. And eventually he's got this horse galloping at top speed, and he's so exhilarated in the experience of being on this horse and going so fast, he forgets until almost too late, he's heading towards this deep ravine. And then, of course, in his panic, he couldn't remember the word to use to stop the horse. And eventually, just in time, he gives that big shout of hallelujah. And the horse comes to a thuddering halt. And as the rider, this new owner on the horse, looks down at that deep ravine and realizes what he's just saved himself from, almost instinctively, he just says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, of course, if that horse had been as good and godly as the vicar had liked to make him out to be, and if the horse had known its Hebrew, it would have understood, of course, that praise the Lord is the English phrase for one word in Hebrew, which means hallelujah. And that's the same in every language around the world. But the horse eventually came to a stop. But you and I, in our praise of the Lord, need to make sure that it's a perpetual praise, that we never come to a halt when it comes to having things to praise the Lord for and who the Lord is in giving our praise to. As it says here in this psalm, right at the beginning and right at the very end, praising the Lord or singing hallelujah. This psalm begins and ends with it so that we might know first and last from it as true music to all of our ears that giving God praise is a totally fail-safe way to live our lives to the full and to soar in all of his good purposes for our lives, no matter the pains and pressures and problems that life, I know, brings to each and every one of us. It is amazing what praising can do, and we can never say that enough. And if you know, and if you've ever seen Call the Midwife, you'll know that it's not a good sign, is it, when a newborn baby fails to cry? For in that cry is the very first sign of life. And equally, as children of the living God, if we cannot praise him, clearly there is something that is wrong. I don't know whether you're a Christian here this morning or you believe or not, or you know, you feel that you are in the family of God. And if you are in the family of God, and how long you feel that you've been in the family of God. Charles Wesley was 3 days old as a newborn again Christian when he penned his first ever hymn, and it would be the first of very nearly 7,000 hymns throughout his life. And the first hymn, 3 days old as a Christian, that he penned. You know what it was? Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. 3 days old. And, you know, very few of us are a Charles Wesley. We're probably unlikely to ever sit down and write a great hymn of praise to God. But all of us, whether we can write a hymn of praise to God or not, all of us ought to have a heart to sing our praise to God. Because he is praiseworthy. And it's amazing what praising can do. And maybe this morning, praise is not only the miracle you need, praise is the miracle that God has brought you here to get. And I just want to underline a few things from this psalm. We've only got time for a few. You can look at some of the others in your life groups as you go throughout the week. Some telling reasons why praise should be music to the ears. And the first here is, I say, praise reveres God. Now, it's not something that we simply should do. It's something that we must do. Written in the Hebrew here, it is not simply a statement or a suggestion. It is a command. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And praise reveres God. As it says in verse 1, how good it is to sing praise to our God. Didn't you feel it was good this morning when Paul was leading us in reflection in our worship, singing your hearts out to God? How good it is to sing praise to our God. How pleasant and how fitting to praise him. Now, it's not what we do, of course, that makes it praise. It's why we do it. It's not simply a singing act. It is a surrendered attitude of our heart that makes praise praise. It's not the means that we use to employ it. It's the motive that we have that's behind it. And it's good, isn't it, to praise the Lord? Don't you feel like you've got to be like that horse this morning? You shout out your hallelujahs and you praise the Lord. Don't you stop. But I think there's something exciting here. You see, for praise to end up being music to the ears, which is what we're praying that it is, music to the ears of any true believer, it must start out first by being music to the ears of God. Amen? I mean, this is it. What a God we have. I mean, it's actually interesting that the Bible puts more emphasis on praise than it does prayer. And you know, when you think about that, it's understandable, isn't it? Because when we come to pray, most often when we pray, we're asking to get something from God. But when we come to praise, we're coming to give something to God. Praise reveres God. And I hope that's music to your ears, because if it is, it's going to be music to the ears of God. How good it is to sing praise to him. Interestingly, as I discovered this week, the English word praise is from a French origin, meaning to prize something, or as Paul said it to the youngsters earlier, to value something. And we looked at some of the things that we prize and value. And praise prizes God. Praise values God. Praise honors God. It glorifies him for who he is and what he's done and all that he asks of us to do. I mean, sometimes we talk about that prized possession, don't we? You know, we value it. And we had a few things come to mind earlier. My most prized club in the golf bag is my driver. Okay, now I haven't got a chauffeur that's in my golf bag. If you don't play golf, it's the biggest club in the bag. And I prize my driver because I know I'm lost without it on the course. I know that. It's by far and away the oldest club that I've got in my bag. In fact, the people I play with on a Monday morning, you know, think that Moses must have discarded it. You know, it is an old club, but it's by far and away my most valuable club because it's got a proven track record of never letting me down. Now, of course, I've often let it down, but more times than I think I deserve, that one club has been the difference between me winning something and losing something. Now, you could take any other club out of my golf bag, wouldn't upset me at all, I could replace it, and I'm sure I get a good substitute. But not my driver. I'm lost without it. Monetarily, it's worth nothing. But to me, it's worth everything. And I prize it greatly. And that's how we should prize God, isn't it? That is why we should praise God, because whether or not we know it, or whether or not we believe it, we are lost without Him. Personally, hopelessly, eternally. I mean, His worth to us, can I say this just gently and lovingly? His worth to us can never be and must never be ever underestimated. He doesn't guarantee you're going to win your next golf match. I don't want you to go out here with the wrong message this morning. I don't care whatever club you've got. So I know Clem was getting excited there for a minute. No, He doesn't promise that. But what He does promise in Christ, that He sealed and secured our salvation, that gives us a living hope that not even death can steal from us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How good it is to praise Him. He's gifted us the world in which we live and the days with which we are to live on it. Because if this universe is without a maker and without a method, then it must be without a meaning. And then what on earth is there to prize? Praise reveres God. That's why if you're going to praise properly, you've got to appraise properly. When you appraise something, you check it out. You give yourself time to consider it. You make an assessment of it. And you don't jump to wrong conclusions about it. If we're going to praise God and revere God and honor God and live to glorify God, then if we're going to praise Him well, we've got to appraise Him well. Because the less you know about anything, the less able you are to determine its worth. Isn't that true? So you may, as many do, dismiss God without discovering Him because you don't look at His word and get the revelation from Him. And when you read verse 15 in the Psalm and you read from that point on, you discover that He sends His command to the earth and His word runs swiftly, and He's given us His word so that we may discover that revelation of Him Himself. He is God. He is God. Isn't that a marvelous thing? And it's amazing. It truly is what praising can do. It is good to praise the Lord. There's never a wrong time to praise the Lord. You know, sometimes there's a wrong time to laugh, isn't there? And sometimes there's an inappropriate time to act in a certain way. But there's never a wrong time to praise the Lord. Never a bad time. Never an in-between time. It is good to sing praise to our God. As David said it, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. The whole of our Christian life ought to be a psalm of praise to the living God of heaven. I think so. I mean, isn't it wonderful when somebody praises you for something? Isn't it? Don't you delight when somebody praises you? I know you act all coy and you put on that cloak of false modesty. Oh, it was nothing. Don't worry about it. It was my pleasure. I know that you do all of that because you're so wonderfully spiritually mature here. I understand that. It's better be praised for something than pilloried for it, isn't it? You know? Oh, that was a wonderful meal you cooked. Yeah, it's better than somebody saying, I didn't really go much on that. Isn't it? That was a superb goal you scored. You know? That was an encouraging word you gave. That was the best job I could have hoped for. Who doesn't delight in praise? Well, it's amazing what praising can do when we delight God with the praise of our hearts, because praise reveres God. And that's the focus of this psalm. 22 times in this psalm, God is mentioned. So that'll give you something to do for the next few minutes, won't it, while I finish off. 22 times in this psalm God is mentioned, because it's about maximizing Him and minimizing us. That the focus of praise is not on my need, but on my God. And when I get focused upon God, my needs are taken care of. Seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. When you do that, everything that God knows you need as your loving Heavenly Father, He's going to bless and encourage you with. And then secondly, if praise reveres God, thankfully, because God is good and it's always right to praise Him, praise refreshes us. Now, it's not immediately obvious when you read that verse up there, is it? That this is what it's talking about. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. But here is a word of comfort. Here is a word to a city once in ruin. Here is a word to a nation once in exile. Here is a word to a people still in pain. And it's music to the ears because they're beginning to grasp how amazing it is when we start praising God. Because when we start praising God, He brings healing where there was hurt. You hurting this morning? Praise God. Not for your hurt, but that in your hurt, God can bring His healing to your life. Praise the Lord and let Him bring recovery where there's destruction. Praise the Lord and let Him bring togetherness where there is division. We often love, as preachers, to go to Paul and Silas, locked away there in the prison cell at Philippi, for witnessing to the precious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and singing hymns of praise to God at midnight as a witness to all the other prisoners there. But don't forget this too, that in singing those praises to God, their praise was bringing a comfort and a balm and a medicine of help to their own situation and life in that prison cell. Praise refreshes us. Do you remember John Bunyan, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress? Some of you will remember. 13 years he spent in Bedford jail. And he took one part of a three-legged stool. And out of that one leg of a three-legged stool, he carved a flute. He carved a flute. And he began to play the flute, melodies and hymns in praise to God, to find refreshment in his own soul, in the difficulty of his own situation. You start looking at the problem, you start feeling the pain, you start focusing on the hurt. It's never going to bring blessing. It's never going to bring healing. You start focusing on God and you discover that He's bigger than the problem. Start focusing on God and you'll discover whatever you're hurting with, He's the healer that you need. Doesn't that refresh your soul? Doesn't that make you want to say, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise refreshes us. It builds. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. Yeah, it's better to be built up than torn down, don't you think? It's very easy to find fault with each other. Find fault even with the church. But it desires and demands a great deal of grace to give praise to God when what's happening to us or with us is not actually to our immediate pleasing and satisfaction. Praise builds. God builds His work and His people by means of praise. So if you're struggling this morning, can I just ask you, as I've asked myself this week, Sean, have you got a heart to praise the Lord? Because when you praise the Lord, it refreshes your soul, because He builds. And praise bonds, doesn't it? It's not just that He builds up Jerusalem, He gathers the exiles of Israel. It unites in worship, one with each other, our hearts, when we praise God. It brings us together when we might be tempted to tear each other apart. Remember me telling you last time I was here that actually the Jewish men had the command to go up 3 times a year to Jerusalem to take the Passover feast and to take Pentecost feast and to take the Tabernacles feast. Well, all these Jewish men were coming from different places within the country, from different clans, belonging to different families. A lot of tension within those home situations and a lot of division between those clans. But when they went up to Jerusalem to praise at Pentecost and Passover and Tabernacles, those divisions just melted away, because praise bonds. Isn't it? It's one of the great things about the hymn book, isn't it? We don't have a hymn book here. We put the words up there. But you know, the great thing about a hymn book are all the songs that go up here. All the writers come from different Christian backgrounds and different Christian denominations. And we never think anything about it when we're singing praise to God, do we? Hey, because praise unites, brings us together. and witnesses to the love of God, whereby the world can see that if we love him, it's going to be shown by our actions. And praise binds, doesn't it? He heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds, because praise refreshes us. I wonder this morning, do you need anything binding up because you're broken in some way? Aren't you glad that when you've got a life that's cut to pieces in some form or another, praise can be the stitches tie you back together again? Isn't that refreshing? That we've got a God who's more interested to recover us than ruin us. We've got a God who loves us enough to come and save us rather than condemn us. I mean, doesn't that refresh your soul? It ought to. It ought to. Because that's the God that we know and love and serve. And then, of course, praise releases faith. These things flow one into each other, don't they? I mean, if you just follow the psalm through to the end, you can't but fail to praise God when you consider his ability and enormous power. So just this verse here, he determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. This is a mighty God. Now, when you get a measure of the size of God, I tell you what, it's a shot in the arm to your faith. Well, it is to me. It genuinely is. Do you see, he determines the number of stars and calls them each by name. You and I, we're told, can see about 3,000 on a good day. Not in Shirley, I don't think. You'd have to go more into the forest. But on a good night, you'd see about 3,000 stars with the naked eye. We can't even count the stars in the sky, can we? We can't. No way in the world. But God put them all there, and he names them. That's what always makes me laugh at Christmas time. You see that advert at Christmas where people are told, you know, buy a unique gift, the most wonderful gift, and get a star named after the person you most love. I mean, thousands of stars out. You ain't got a name after any. God's named them. They're the mighty creator God. And the wonderful thing is this, it releases faith, because that mighty creator God, in all his awesomeness, in all of his power, is interested in little old you and little old me. That he's concerned enough about what I'm concerned about. Doesn't that just blow your mind? I mean, there are times when I won't even tell my wife what's bothering me because I think it's just so insignificant. But God knows everything that's going on in my life and your life that's tiny, that might not interest anybody else. And this great God is interested in the small things that go on with us day by day and moment by moment. Folks, doesn't that release faith? Doesn't that stir you up to want to put your trust in God rather than men? It ought to. It's what the psalmist goes on to tell us. You know, this is the God who covers the skies with cloud and supplies the earth with rain and makes the grass grow. You talk about climate control. God's got everything under his control. Provides food for cattle and hears young ravens when they call. You ever heard a young raven when they call? The point is, there's nothing too little that doesn't interest God. There's nothing too small that isn't precious to God. And if he hears these little things, you are always someone that he's got his eye on and someone that he's got his ear completely tuned to. And yet, and this is the release we get in knowing that power that he's got, that we're told the Lord sustains the humble but casts the wicked to the ground. And when you stumble, he's there to steady you. I'm not talking physically this morning so much, I'm talking spiritually. When we fall, if you're humble enough, he's ready enough to lift you. And when we cry, he's loving enough and able enough to comfort us. This great God. That makes me want to shout hallelujah. Sometimes life hurts, but when it does, there's help and hope for those of us who know the Lord. Look at what it says in verse 10. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of man. Whatever man those legs belong to. Even Muhammad Ali had feet of clay. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. God just doesn't delight in the praise of his people. God delights in the people of his praise. You and me. And that ought to be a shot in the arm to your faith as you unreservedly trust him because you fear him in the right sense. Not fear what he's going to do to you, but fear of what you're going to do to him when you start living your life in a pattern and on a path that is against his best and his will for your life. Because like any loving father, he's never blessed when his children are taking a path that he knows is going to lead to a dead end. And then the last thing as I close this morning, just one final quick thought. Praise reflects thanks. There's other things here, but what a wonderful way to bring it to a crescendo. It says there in verse 7, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music to our God on the harp. You know, that kind of conclusion, if you like, shouldn't surprise us, should it? I mean, when you think about it, praise will always lead to thanksgiving, and thanksgiving will always lead to praise. It's a lovely cycle in which to live the truth. It's amazing what praising can do because it's going to soar you in your hearts to give thanks to God. And when you've got a heart to be thankful to God, what's the first thing you're going to do? You're going to praise him. You're going to praise him. And there's so much to thank him for, isn't there? Whether it's on the harp, doesn't matter, does it? Whether it's on the piano or on the drums, you know, doesn't matter at all. Whether it's on the comb and paper, doesn't make any difference. It's not the instrument. As long as it's from the heart, as long as it's from my heart to his heart. Lord, I love you. Lord, I'm here to serve you. Lord, I'm here to be a blessing to other people from you. And Lord, I'm here to give people the good news that you are for them. I don't think there's any greater sin in the life of a Christian. And I stress the life of a Christian as the unforgivable sin. The life of those who don't believe is that they turn their back on God. God's not going to force his forgiveness on anyone. If you don't want it, you won't receive it. But in the life of a Christian, is there any greater sin than the sin of ingratitude? Is there? Shakespeare said, "How sharper than a serpent's tooth is a thankless child." And I remind you this morning, if you're in Christ, you're a child of God. Look at what he's given us to be thankful for. Hey? At least thankful to know. 1 minute and I'm finished. That's got to be hallelujah worth, isn't it? Hey? Of course it is, because it's amazing what praising can do. And it's not praise if it's not reflection of our thanks to God. Now here's the last thing. I told you at the start the word hallelujah means praise the Lord, and it does. But that one word in Hebrew, hallelujah, is a combination of two words. Halal, which means to brag or to boast, and Yah, which simply means God. It's a shortened version, but it means God. So when we say hallelujah, when we sing praise the Lord, what do we do? We're simply bragging and boasting on the God who brags and boasts on us. And if we're not ashamed of him now, Jesus tells us, on that day that really counts, when we stand before him, he's not going to be ashamed of us. The very things that we've done in his power, through his spirit, for his glory, they're going to praise him for all eternity. Anything less than that will be wood, hay, and stubble, and burnt up. So when we say hallelujah, we're saying, Lord, we revere you. When we sing praise the Lord, we're saying, Lord, refresh us. And it's amazing what praising can do because it releases faith as it reflects our thanks. So folks, what are you going to brag on God about this morning? You're going to come to faith in him and thank him that he saved you. Are you going to brag on him in the songs that you sing, because your heart is in tune with the very melody of the thought of praise that put that song together. And are you going to brag on him with the whole of your life and say, Lord, here am I? Because do you know what real praise is? I tell you, in my estimation, real praise is giving all that I am to all that he is. And I think it's amazing what praising can do. And my prayer this morning is that that might be music to your ears. And all God's people said,
amen.
No, they said, praise the Lord. They said, hallelujah. Hey, I got my horse tied up outside. Good and godly one. Listen to the tune of the engine. God bless you this week. Thank you for listening. Let's just bow for a short prayer, and then we're going to sing with a song that gives us 10,000 reasons to praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for one another. Thank you, Lord, that it wouldn't be as easy and as joyful and as fun to praise you without one another. Thank you that, Lord, as Wesley recognized, sometimes one voice just doesn't seem to cut it. We need 1,000 tongues to sing our great Redeemer's praise. Well, Lord, we're not 10,000 here this morning, but we've got voices that reflect hearts that simply want to revere you and find our refreshment in you, so that we can go and reflect on your goodness to you, to us, and be thankful for you. Bless us this day. For those who need you as Savior, Lord, find them. For those that need you as healer, Lord, touch them. For those that need you for direction, Lord, show them. Whatever the need, may they ever have reason to praise you that you met that need this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.